Gemara yet, but there's a Gemara in Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Chav Tes Amud Aleph talks about the responsibilities of a parent to a child and a child to a parent. So, in the middle of the Gemara in Chav Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ha'av Chayiv Bibino. A father is Chayiv to his son in the following things. Father has an expectation to do what? Lemolo. First and foremost, when a child is born, on the eighth day, hopefully, if he's healthy, you have to give him a Brismilo. Ulev Doso. Pidyon Aben, if he's a Bechor. Ulelamdo Torah. As the child grows, you need to teach him Torah. Lasio Isha. Kiddushin. Gotta get him married. Ulelamdo Umnis. You have to teach him a profession. Trade. Teach him a trade. Does that come before marriage or after marriage? Okay, so that's a whole Gemara over here. The Yesh Omrim, and some say, in addition to all of these obvious things, Bris Milah, Pidyon Aben, teach him Torah, get him married, give him a, help him find a job, right? All the things that a person would want for a stable and normal and blessed life. Yesh Omrim, Afla Shito Bamayim. Yesh Omrim, some say you need to teach him how to swim. Adkan Lingwara, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Yesh Omrim, you have to teach. So first of all, what do you mean Yesh Omrim? Some say you have to teach him how to swim, and what do the others say? You should let him drown? What's the Yesh Omrim teach him how to swim? Yesh Omrim, you should teach him how to throw a baseball. You know, Yesh Omrim, you should teach him how to drive a car. Right? Yesh Omrim, the other ones are kind of like big things. Okay, so you say you have to teach him how to, maybe teach him how to swim is teach him how to protect himself, how to guard his own life, physically, to make sure that he's safe. Teach him karate in case he ends up in a dark alley with some thugs. Like, what's the Yesh Omrim Lashito B'mayim? So again, even B'derech HaPshat, there's what to think about. But I want to share with you two different approaches that I've been thinking about in this Gemara. Two different approaches to swimming. Two things we need to think about. And the Gemara says you need to know how to swim. A Rebbe has to be like a father. A father has to teach a child how to swim. So Rebbeim also have to teach their Talmidim how to swim. We have to know how to swim. So what does it mean to know how to swim? So if I ask you to think about the concept of water, right, what comes to mind? A positive image, a negative image? If I say picture a lot of water. Right? So do you picture that in a positive way, in a negative way? We have two very different images when we think about water. In this past week's Parsha, we had a concept of a ber mayim chayim. A few places in the Torah, water is sometimes referred to as mayim chayim. Mayim chayim, water allows things to grow. Water sustains man. Water is a very important thing that a person needs in order to survive. Right? In Yeshaya, in Sefer Yeshaya, the Navi in Perek Lamed Gimel refers to mayim as mayim ne'emanim, trustworthy waters. So water is very important. Water is a very good thing. Right? Water is a very necessary thing. A be'er mayim chayim. Ein mayim ela Torah. Torah is compared to water. So water, what is a lot of good imagery we can associate with water. On the other hand, water also has some very negative images that might come to mind. Starting with the Mabel. Right? David HaMelech refers to Mayim Zeidonim, evil waters, destructive waters. In Melachim Beis, we see that Mayim is sometimes called Mayim Ra'im, bad waters. So we have two very different images of water. And the truth is, if you look in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, who is the student of Arizal. Rav Chaim Vital, when he talks about the various elements that make up the Bria, water is associated with Taiva.
Yeah.
Because the same way that water can cause things to grow, right? So too the proper intimate relationship between a husband and a wife will produce a child, but if used in the wrong way, right, could cause tremendous destruction. If you pour too much water on the plant, you'll drown the plant. It has to be absorbed in the right way and in the right settings and in the right balance. Okay, so mayim could be a mabul, and mayim could be Torah. Mayim could be mayim chayim, mayim could be mayim ra, mayim zeidonim. So I wanna talk about both of these presentations of water and to teach us how to swim when we're in the bad waters and how to swim when we're in the good waters. Because we have to know how to swim in both types of water. Okay, so we'll start with the negative. Swar mei rav ase tov. What does it mean to swim? What does it mean to learn how to swim? Yesh orm lashito v'mayim. We need to know how to swim in the dangerous waters. So there's an amazing vart from the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was the Rebbe of Sakachov. And he wrote a letter once, printed in the back of a sefer called the Na'os Hadesha, a collection of some of his teachings and other rebbes of Sukhachev. And he says, he wrote the following letter to his chassidim. He said, when the Gemara says, Yesh Orm La'ashito B'mayim, here's what it means. What's the key? What's the key to surviving when you're swimming? Keep your head out of the water. You've got to pick your head up and breathe. Right? Can't stay underwater forever. So Avnei Nezer said the following. He said, what is the Gemara telling us? And why is it right next to the father has to teach his son a profession? And Yesh Orm teach him how to swim. The answer is, Avnei Nezer says, because sometimes when a person leaves the Beis Medrash and goes out to the world, and you go out to that marble outside, right? You go out to the street and all the different valleys and all the different temptations of the world, you feel like what? You feel like you're drowning. A person goes to work. You've had a nice experience, you went to Yeshiva University, and you're surrounded by fellow Jews, and you had Rebbeim, and you got to learn Torah. Now you take a job, and you're working in some place, and you're the only Jew there. And all of a sudden, you start to feel, even if it's not a very oppressive work environment. You have the right understanding of your religiosity, and we'll get you that kosher meal on that first, you know, company retreat or whatever, right? But you feel like an outsider. And a little bit you feel like, you know, you're being swallowed up by these waters, even if they're not intentionally malicious waters that are trying to destroy you. But you just feel like I'm losing myself a little bit. So Avnei Nezer says, remember what the Gemara says. Learn a trade, but also know how to swim. The key to swimming is what? Keep your head out of the water. So Avnei Nezer says the same thing. A person goes to the working world, a person goes to engage the world, bichlal, right? The reality might be that you're up to your neck in it. That might just be the job that you have. You might be very busy at your job. But I can't allow my head to get sunken into those waters. You know what Avnei Nezer is saying? I have to still remember what's Iker and what's Tafel. And I'm not talking about Iker and Tafel in terms of primary and secondary, in terms of how many hours I'm spending learning Torah versus number of hours at my office. The reality will probably be for many of us that we spend more hours at our work, even if I love learning Torah, and I use every free minute that I have to go to the Beis Medrash, right, and to learn, and I listen to a shiur on the train or in the car on the way to work. The reality will probably be you spend more hours at your job than you do learning Torah. So the majority of my body is going to be in the water, right? But I have to make sure my head, to make sure that my mind, that my neshama, right, stays on top of the water, stays above the water. I can't get confused by the fact that I'm spending so much time in the water, right, that I sink under the water, that my whole existence becomes the water, that my job becomes the purpose of my existence, because it's not. The purpose of my existence is to serve God. The purpose of my existence is to be mekadesh shem shemayim, to bring kvod shemayim, to bring honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to learn His Torah, to do His mitzvahs. So the Avnei Nezer wrote, be careful. L'lamda umnis, yes, the reality is, we need to get jobs, we need to provide for ourselves. That's the curse of Adam HaRishon, we can't pretend that's not reality. But we have to do it in a way where we don't lose sight of what's primary and what's secondary. That my head stays above the water. I don't allow my head to dip down beneath the water. Someone once came to the Sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, a person who I'd learned for many years, and he wasn't able to do it anymore financially. So he opened up some type of shoe store and a shoe repair shop. And he came to the Sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, and he said to him, you know, Rebbe, I'm drowning. I feel like since I left the Beis Medrash, since I left the world of Torah to start this business, like the quality of my spiritual existence is just, it's falling apart. So the Rebbe said back to him, he said, tell me about your business. He said, I sell shoes, I fix shoes. So the Rebbe started, had a big smile on his face. The Rebbe Rayat said to him, he said, I've heard that people put their feet into their shoes, but I've never met someone who puts their head into their shoes as much as you do. What was he saying to him? Right? Meaning, okay, so you put your feet in your shoes, right? And your body has to work, and you need to provide parnasa, right? But why are you letting your mind be overtaken by that? Right? Why are you letting that define who you are as a person? That you're no longer a ben Torah, you're no longer a Torah scholar, you're no longer a person who's striving for kirvas elokus, connection to God, but now, no, I'm a lowly shoe salesman. Right? Why was he defining himself that way? That's called putting your head into your shoes. People put their feet into their shoes, he said. You don't put your head into your shoes. Kotzker Rebbe used to say, Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kuf Chaf Ches, you maybe recognize the Pasuk, Yagia Kapecha, Kisochel, Ashrecha V'Tovlach. Yagia Kapecha, one who works, the work of the hands, kisochel, and he earns and he eats, ashrech v'tov lach. Ashrech v'tov lach. The Gemara says, Chazal say, Gemara. Actually, it's also Gemara. Gemara and the Mishnah says, ashrech ba'olam hazeh v'tov lach l'olam haba. Right? Ashrech v'tov lach, yagia kapecha. The Kotzk Rebbe said, why is that so tov lach? What's so good about that? Because again, read the pasuk carefully. Yagia kapecha. If I work with my hands and I eat, ashrech v'tov lach. But when I start working with my neshama, when my neshama becomes defined by my profession, and it's not ashrach, and it's not tovlach. You hear? If it's yagia kapecha, if a person understands, yes, I have to work and I have to provide. And that's reality. But my focus is still my life of Torah and mitzvahs. Then ashrach of a tovlach. Wow, that's great. Ashrach of olam haza, you have a good balance in this world, and guess what? Tovlach l'olam haba. You're going to be very precious in Hashem's eyes. There's a statement in Chazal. In Avos Rabbi Nosson, it says, a person who makes Torah primary in this world will be primary in God's eyes. And a person who makes Torah secondary in this world will be secondary in Hashem's eyes. So the Chafetz Chaim has a little essay in the back of one of his Svarim where he says, what does it mean to make Torah primary and secondary? So I'll let you know the secret. It may not be, for those of us who learned in Eretz Yisrael, it may not be, right, how they probably would have imagined it to be, Shana Aleph, learning in Yeshiva. What does it mean to make Torah primary? Who can learn the most hours? What does it mean to make Torah secondary? Who learns the least hours? The Holy Chafetz Chaim says that's not what Chazal meant. Because you can have a person who has a large family, who has a lot of bills to pay, and has to work a lot of hours. And yet, he only learns for an hour at night, and yet, that person makes Torah primary. How does that person make Torah primary? The guy who's learning a kolel is learning so many more hours. Chafetz Chaim says, it could be he makes Torah secondary. Chafetz Chaim says, it's about your attitude. A person could be busy all day with all sorts of mundane pursuits, and he takes achrayas for his own life, and he deals with those things. But he says, the highlight of my day is that hour when I get to learn Torah. The highlight of my day is when I take that break during lunch, and I pick up a little pocket Mishnayis, or a little Mishnah Berurah, and I read a little halacha. I open up a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Or I go online and I download a 10-minute halacha shir. Right? That's the highlight of my life, of my day. So we say about such a person, oh, Torah is ikkar in your life. Torah is primary in your life. It could be a person who learns a lot more hours, but they don't have the same appreciation. They're not living with Torah the same way that you are. So Chafetz Chaim says, don't be fooled by the amount of hours. It's a question of, do I keep my head above the water? My body might need to be in the water of this world. But if I keep my head above the water, if I make sure that my mind is in the right place, then we say about such a person, Ashrech v'tov lach. Ashrech v'tov lach. This past week's Parsha, one of the Ge'er Rebbe, the Lev Simcha, the fifth Ge'er Rebbe. So he quotes from Rav Uri of Strelitz. He says, why is it, Rav Uri used to say to his chassidim, he said, why is it that when a person, you know, is davening, sometimes your mind goes to other places, right? Ever happened to anyone here? Mm-hmm. Right? In the middle of davening, yeah? The worst is on a Friday night, you're davening, Shabbos davening, right? You're davening Marv, and all of a sudden you start to do a little this, yeah? And then you go into do the scratch, right? We do the stretch, yeah, because you're totally like on a different planet, even though your body was on autopilot. And he started saying weekday shmona esrei, he started clapping, you know, slach lanu, right? And then like, right? You know, I got that through my shoulder this week.
Look around,
right? Look around, do a little stretch, and no one saw it. I'm totally not mindful of what I'm saying right now. Yeah. So Rabbi Astralis said, if I'm able to transport myself when I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei, if I'm able to find myself at a baseball game, if I'm able to find myself back in my office, if I'm able to be thinking about the client or the phone call I didn't return, or the email I still have to check, or the paper I still need to write for my professor, yeah? So Rav Uri used to say, you know from your own experience, you could be in one place and you could be somewhere else. So Rav Uri says, so why doesn't it happen in the other direction? How come it doesn't happen in the other? How come sometimes, you know, when you're at the baseball game, yeah? You don't start to like, you know, oh, sorry, I was my mind was wandering back to the base measures for a minute. Why does it only happen in one direction? So, okay, it's a question of prioritizing. But he used to say to them, if you can do it in one direction, if you can go to the fair, right, those are like the big, you know, the big marketplaces, if you could be by the fair when you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, so why can't you be in the middle of Shmona Esrei when you're at the fair, when you're selling in the marketplace? Why can't it go in the other direction? They say a line, I forget which Rebbe used to say it. It says, you know, for Jews, we have it very easy when we want to travel. Right? The Pasuk says, Eilev Arecha ve'eilev Asusim. Right? That when a non-Jew wants to travel, Eila Berechav, Eila Besusim, you gotta buy a ticket, you gotta book a flight, buy a ticket for the train, for the plane, get a carriage, a horse, and wagon. Eila Berechav, Eila Besusim, the rabbi used to say jokingly. Eila Berechav, for the world, when they want to travel, they travel with horse and they travel with caravan. Right? Vanachnu, what's the end of the pasuk? Vanachnu b'shem Hashem, right? We just say Shem Hashem and we start to travel. Start davening Shemona Esrei, we're all over the place. Eila Berechav, Eila Besusim. You can travel the world free of charge. All you have to do is daven Shemona Esrei and just let your mind wander a little bit. You'll be. Someone was once davening Shemona Esrei next to the Berdichever, the lady Yitzchak Berdichev. And he finished Shemona Esrei and he said, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back." He said, "Welcome back, Rebbe. I wasn't out of town." He said, "No, just now by Shemona Esrei." He said, "I could see you were here and you were there." I said, "Welcome back. Welcome back to the Beis Medrash." But if it can happen in one direction, why can't it happen in the other direction? So rule number one to swimming, like the Avni Nezer says, the key to swimming is to keep your head above. Keep your head above the water. Your body might be totally immersed in the water, but keep your head above the water. Make sure that, again, you don't confuse your priorities, even if it means spending a lot of time in the water. That's reality for most of us. This is not a speech pushing that everyone should be learning full-time in Kollel. It's not realistic for most people. You're going to have to engage the world in a very serious way. And in terms of the number of hours, that might be the ikar in terms of hours of your day. But the Chafetz Chaim says, don't let it become the ikar in terms of the quality of your day. Right? Don't allow your head, don't allow the top part of yourself to be immersed in that. Allow it to be connected to Torah, to Tefillah, and to all of the loftier things. Okay? But now I told you there's a second side to this, which is how to swim when we're in the good waters. How to swim when we're in Torah. Because sometimes we make a mistake when it comes to swimming in Torah. And don't call me a heretic for saying this. Try to understand what I'm about to say. Right? According to the Avnei Nezer's, imagery, that the key to survival when you're swimming is to what? Is to keep your head out of the water. So how do we apply that when we're swimming in Torah? When we're in the Yam HaTalmud, when we're swimming in Torah, when we're in the Beis Medrash, right? When we have the opportunity to be swimming in Torah, why would I want to pick my head up out of the water? Why would I ever want to come out of the Beis Medrash? And according to that mashal, right, the same way that if I'm underwater, I could drown, I have to pick my head up out of the water to survive. Is that true? Do I need to stop learning Torah to survive ever? So the opposite danger exists when we're in the Beis Medrash. What's the danger of the Beis Medrash? And again, we may not feel this all the time. But sometimes, like after midterms, I had a bad week, right? And I want to get back into things. So I throw myself back into it full speed. Yeah? Which might be a good thing. But you have to remind yourself, if you're anything less than a fish, then you can't live only in water. Sometimes as Jews, we feel that if I do anything other than learning Torah, like when I'm feeling really stark, when I'm feeling really inspired, if I do anything other than learning Torah, right, then like I must not be serious. So I get so frum, I get so serious about my learning that I can't do anything else. My friends say, "Come, let's go hang out." But no, I can only, if I don't go all in, then I'm never going to become anything. Right? We get like that sometimes. Yeah? If I'm a fish, then I can stay in the water all the time. Talmidei Chacham are compared to fish. But if I'm a regular human being, right? Even if I'm swimming in Torah, the key to my survival is what? To know how to take a break in the right way. To know how to take a break in life, to know how to pick myself up out of the water, to take my face out of the water, in order to survive. I'll tell you a great, great vart from the Vilna Gaon. It says in Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak, it's really the Braisa, that's added on to Pirkei Avos. It says there are 48 kinyanim of Torah, 48 ways to acquire Torah. And you read the list and it sounds so frum. Yeah, you have to give up all the pleasures of this world. What does it say on the list? It says, Miyut Sicha, less conversation, miut tainug, less pleasure, less sleep, less derech eretz, less work, less chok, less joking around. You want to be kona Torah, you want to be serious about Torah, right? Less this and less that and less... Okay, that's pashup shah, and that's true. If I'm going to sit around, joking around all the time, then I'm not going to become a Talmud Chacham. And if I enjoy all the pleasures of this world, then I'm not going to become a person who's great in Torah. I'm not going to develop my soul. And if I sleep as late as I want, then I'm not... Yes, those are all true. I will not be Kona Torah if I don't have less sleep and less pleasure and less joking around. But I saw on a Sefer once, a Sefer of Drush was called Metzach Aaron, of Aaron Valkin. It was describing, in the back of the Sefer, there was a section describing what the author himself was like, written by his son. And he shares, my father was such a busy person. My father was always involved in so many things, right? But my father used to also say this insight from the Vilna Gaon. And there's another way to read that pasuk. The Vilna Gaon himself was a fish. The Vilna Gaon didn't waste a second. The Vilna Gaon gave up sleep and he gave up pleasure and he gave up everything. But the Vilna Gaon tells us we have to be normal. And therefore, you know how you can read the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? How else can you read it? Don't read it in the negative. Read it in the positive. If you want to be Kona Torah, then miut shena. You need a little sleep. You do need a little sleep. And you need a little joking around. And you need a little schmoozing with your friends. And you need a little tanug, a little pleasure. Because if you try to throw yourself into it so strong, what's going to happen? You're going to burn out. You're going to burn out. Isn't that great? You're going to burn out. If you don't allow yourself miut, there's going to be time when I do need to sleep a little later and go to a later minyan. And I shouldn't say, oh, I'm a bum. I promised myself I was only going to daven earlier. Oh, I promised myself I wasn't going to... You have to know yourself. You have to know where you're holding. And again, part of the key to knowing how to swim, lambda umnis, I want Torah to be my profession. You also have to know how to swim. If you're not a fish, you have to pick your head up out of the water. You have to grow in a pace that's realistic for you. I'm learning Sefer Yeshaya now. And I noticed in the sixth parak something, a pasuk that we're all very familiar with, right? It's part of Kedusha. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yeah? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What the angels say to one another. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Pasuk in the sixth parak of Yeshaya. So it's very interesting. If you look in the Tanakh, if you look in the Navi, where it's actually printed, right? After the word Kadosh, there's a psik. There's a line, there's a break. So I was thinking, what's the Navi saying to us? The Navi is saying, sometimes we say, Kadosh, 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 I want to be Kadosh, Kadosh, I just want to be there already. You know? I spend every day looking at Rabbi Schnall, my Rabbi, and I just want to be Rabbi Schnall already. He's such an awesome guy. He knows so much Torah, I just want to get there already. Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 I want to be holy, holy, holy. But the Navi says, no, it's not going to work like that. You'll never get there like that. For like a day, you'll be really serious, and then you'll be burnt out for the rest of your life. You have to grow in a way that makes sense, or you'll drown yourself in Torah. You could hurt yourself in Torah. Torah could be dangerous if you don't use it properly. So therefore, Kadosh, pause. Kadosh, psik. Kadosh, I want to be holy. I have to take a step. Right? But now I have to pause. I have to see, is that, okay, do I own it? Have I been kona that madrega? Right? And if I have, then I can go on to what? Kadosh, Kadosh. Step two. But if I just try all of a sudden, Kadosh, 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 there's even a machlokas, a poskim, by the way. When we say Kedusha, we lift ourselves up on our feet, right? I want to go higher and higher and higher. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Right? There's a question, do I lift myself up three times? Do I lift myself up one time when I say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? But it could be it's B'derech Drush. It could be it's, you know, connected to this, right? If I try to lift myself up too many steps at once, everything's going to come crashing down. So Kadosh, pause. Ask yourself, you know, in a balanced way. Of course I want to be serious about Torah. Of course I want to get there. Right? But if I try to do it instantly, I'll never get there. No one got there. No one became a tzaddik overnight. It has to be done in the proper way, or I could hurt myself by trying to swim too deep and not coming up for air once in a while. Miut sicha, miut shena, miut tanuk. Right? A little bit of this, a little bit of that, to give myself a little bit to remind, I'm a human being, and I have to be respectful of my own growth. Okay, I'll just end with one of my favorite things to share. Something I heard when I was in YU. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was still alive. And at one point in his life, and as I saw him at the end of his life, he was not a very strong person. It was difficult for him to walk. But he very much wanted to be able to walk. So he could say the bracha and Birchas HaShachar in the morning. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechin Mitzadei Gavar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets and aligns the feet as we take steps. So they would drive him up. He would pull up like in a... You know, one of the security guys would drive him up like to the front of the building, to this building. And then people would, like, you know, hold him by the arms, but he wouldn't go in a wheelchair. He would walk very slowly, and he would sit in the front of the base manager. It was a sight to see, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So someone once told me that in a hesped that was given for him after he had passed away, in a eulogy, someone once explained that after, at one point in his life, maybe it was after he had had his stroke, or at some point in his life when it was very difficult for him to walk, when he would walk up the steps, whether it was here, maybe the steps of his home, whatever it was, whenever he would go up steps, as he would take steps, he would count the way that the Kohen Gadol counts in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur when he sprinkles the blood. How does the Kohen count? There's an unbelievable lesson in how the Kohen counts. How does he count? Achas. Achas v'achas. Achas v'shtayim. Achas v'shalosh. To think that a Gadol b'Yisrael, who's just struggling physically with his body to take a step, to physically, to not forget emotionally, mentally, in his Yiddishkeit to take a step, to physically, his body was broken, to physically take a step, he said, but that step is as important my next step is as important as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kodesh. Achas. Achas v'achas. Achas v'shtayim. Step by step. Kadosh. Pause. Kadosh, kadosh. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Right? To be able to grow in a way, to be honest with oneself. To not be too comfortable and say, oh yeah, I need to sleep 20 hours and I need to relax all the time. You'll never get anywhere like that either. The Pashup Shah and the Mishnah is also true. But to hear such a vibe from the Vilna Gaon, the person who himself was a fish and could swim all day, to say to us, be normal about it. Be normal. If you want to get anywhere in life, you're going to have to grow step by step by step. So Rabosai, if anyone asks you what you learned today, say, I learned how to swim. I learned two new strokes in the pool. Yeah, I learned how to swim in the world, to make sure you keep your head above water, that even when our body is totally in it, in the waters which are not the ideal waters, but waters that are reality, to make sure that I keep focus of what's ikkar and what's tafa, what's primary and what's secondary in my life. But even when I'm in the base medrash, when I'm swimming in the Yama Talmud, again, when I'm in the sea of the Gemara, right, and I'm trying to grow in my avodas Hashem, I also have to be careful not to drown. I have to know how to swim. I have to make sure that I take breaks in the right way and I grow at the right pace so that it will be something that will, Mirtz Hashem, last an entire lifetime. Shkoyach. Pleasure swimming with you.
If it's...